Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are in the iOS podcast app. Like 90% of our listeners do it through the iTunes or the iOS podcast app. We're also available on Podbean, Stitcher, all sorts of places. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, especially if you're on the YouTube. They got that little notify bell, lets you know whenever there's new Going In Raw content as well. And of course, over on the iOS podcast app, it helps boost our profile in the rankings in the sports and rec category. There's so many podcasts now. I think we've been bumped out of the top 200 because there are so many. Like Colt Cabana's podcast used to always be in like the top 30 or so.
Yeah.
And the other day I checked, it was at like number 160 something. Like Vince Russo, he says crazy shit every week and he's been bumped down to like 170 or something. Sadly, we're not above Vince Russo. But also it was sort of a weaker weekend for us podcast wise. So maybe on Wednesday we'll be up there again. But if you guys leave reviews and ratings and all that kind of good stuff and you hit the subscribe download button or refresh your feed if you haven't, that will help us as well, and that would be much appreciated. Another way to great way to help us is to by going to patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a variety of reward tiers right now. We've got over 80 people watching the live stream version of this. They got to see us choose our new cards for our microphones here. I have Eric Bischoff on mine.
I have Diamond Dallas Page and the Diamond Doll.
Nice. Anyways, yeah, so that way you can pledge financial support to the show. And you get some, there's some reward tiers. You got like a shirt. We got a comic book that's on the verge of being done, I promise. And all sorts of great reward tiers. You can vote on the pay-per-views review every Sunday. You can vote on Kayfabe Corner themes. It's really good stuff. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you can get t-shirts. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all good stuff.
Are you going to...
I'm thinking about doing it.
The new pledges for the week.
I know. I haven't done that in a little while. Oh, here we go. All right. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and do this because it's one of the, like, the $1 tier is at $1 and up. You get a shout out here on the show. Well, let's see here. Where are we? I'm going to go back a little ways because we haven't done this in a little while. But I like to give a shout out to people who open their wallets to us because that's very nice. Gene the Grappler. And he's actually pledged before. Apparently, he's back. Welcome back, Gene. The big gold belt champion, Ice Bladeri. The phenomenal cleaner, a.k.a. the king of demons. K.H. Christian, the low himself. Blake Robert Gidley, Matt Chapman, Zorro Katz. Always missing friendo meetups, Ruben is rapture. Mike Bones, Robbie 1896, Terrence Karen, David Diaz, Joey Gagnon, Kurt Falconer. Mahari Eskinder, Menace Media Production, Maddie Freakin' Ice, Paul O'Connell, Jamie Talbot, Josh, Dwight Ucor, Toby Anton's big wrestling fan, and Juggernauts, the Going In Raw Grand Slam champion, all put in money to the Patreon. I want to say thank you very much for that. We appreciate it.
Excuse me.
Oh, wow. Anyways, do you want this Eva Marie card right here? I was going to suggest this for you.
I'm happy with
all red everything.
I'm happy with DDP and the Diamond
Eva
Doll.
Eva Marie here. She can hang out with Kevin Owens there.
Let's talk about Raw. This was a pretty enjoyable show. I
really loved it. I'll be honest. I rebounded from my negative Nelly take on Great Balls of Fire. That's in the past.
Yeah, you crapped all over that show.
Well, yeah, they crapped all over the finishes, man. Last night on Raw, we got a very entertaining episode of Raw. I was into it the entire time. I watched it live. Yeah, it was good. I even rewatched some of it today. this morning I went back and rewatched the Brock Joe Roman Reigns segment.
Oh, that was great.
That was money. There was a lot of money there.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're not changing any directions with Roman Reigns. He's just the guy who can do effed up things and be pretty nonchalant about it.
Pretty much.
So that's kind of cool. It's kind of like, you know, man, that guy is really messed up. He might start getting that. That's going to be like a slow burn pop thing for him. If he keeps on doing really messed up things.
And just no sells it pretty much.
No sells it. He's like totally cool with it. He's like, yeah, totally trying to kill a guy last night. And he does that.
I know.
Weird smile on his face.
His explanation, like to Brock at least, was, I got to take care of Braun because you're never here to do it.
That was good.
So that's his justification for attempted murder.
I liked it. That was good. Yeah, he's so nonchalant about it. But no, like, big, oh, he's healed. We didn't even see Braun last night.
No.
He was all messed up.
Yeah, it probably takes a while to walk from Dallas to Houston.
Do you think maybe he realized that and decided to move on to the place that it's going to be like 2 weeks from
now? Oh, Nashville?
Nashville? Oh, yeah, Nashville. Oh, no. We got to talk about Dixie Carter.
We will at the end of the show.
Big rumors. At the end of the show. Anyways, we'll start at the beginning.
She addressed those rumors on Twitter, too.
Oh, no kidding. What'd
she
say?
We'll get to that.
All right.
We'll address that all at the end of the show.
Also on the dirt sheet this week, we're going to be talking about the Alberto Del Rio Page audio that leaked out from TMZ Sports, or is that was released. We're going to talk about the dirt sheet this week because there might be some more developments. GFW, Global Force Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett, essentially said they're going to look into it. I don't know, man. If they want to start getting their shit in order,
mm-hmm.
they need to act on stuff like
mm-hmm.
that and implement a wellness policy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyways, Raw start off with Big Cass coming down, and he dropped a heel Big Cass promo. He seemed to be kind of into it.
He did. It started off kind of slow.
Yeah.
There's this thing with Cass. He seems like a really decent guy.
Yeah, he does.
And unless he's screaming, I don't really buy him as a heel.
I know.
But towards the tail end of this promo, when he was really into it and screaming, I bought it.
Yeah, the thing is, he fit the role. You're right. That's when it started working. He fit the role of big guy who could take care of business and let his friend run his mouth so perfectly. Like, he fit that role so perfect. And when he comes out, I was actually going over his lines in my head as he said them. He said, I took out 5 years of frustration on Enzo, and man, did it feel great. And instead of doing that, he said, I just took out, like, he should have been reveling in it more.
I know.
But that's going to take maybe a little bit of time for him just to loosen up.
This experience he needs. Yeah. Because, you know, he's not bad on the mic, but he's never had to carry the load.
Right, exactly. He's always had remember the spell when Enzo was concussed, when he was injured. You know, we saw Cass he got thrown in the deep end,
mm-hmm.
and we were impressed with how he did, but it was never like going to stack up against Enzo. You know,
it was always
like Enzo could do that stuff in his sleep.
And this is what, still the third or fourth week of him being full heel Cass.
Right.
So I'm sure he's still finding his way, finding what the character is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's still young anyways.
Yeah.
So anyways,
after all that, music hit.
Well, yeah, Cass was really getting on a roll. Like, he did so Brock kind of did the thing later on. Notice this. Whenever somebody's music is supposed to hit, it always hits about two beats too late. Like, Brock said his line, and he knew that the music was supposed to hit at that point, and so he just sort of stumbled upon that line again.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he said, you don't deserve anything.
Yeah, Joe's... and Joe's...
You kind of half into the mic, too.
Exactly. And then Joe's music hit when it was probably supposed to interrupt that last line.
Well, it's supposed to probably come at
the tail end.
Right as he said, as Brock said, shit.
Yeah. Anyways, well, Big Show comes down. Cass gets in his face. Show gives him a headbutt.
They brawl. Big Show gets the upper hand. Mm-hmm. And then Cass finds a way to get out of the ring. He leaves.
Yeah, I'm good with this. I like this a lot.
This will be a lower card match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, this is good. Big Show mentioned on, I think, Jericho's podcast. I think it was Jericho's podcast when he was laying some heat on the WWE, saying, if I'm going to show up and not do anything. But he said that he still likes getting in the ring and wrestling.
Yeah.
And there's been one time over the past, 12 months when he was allowed to do that. And that was that great match with him and Braun at Raw. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
And so this will allow him to get in there and do some actual wrestling and put Cass over.
Yeah.
So That's good. I like it. And I like that they open Raw with kind of the least likely segment. There is a number of other segments that they could have gone with for the open, and they went with Cass, sort of, you know, giving that guy a spotlight. I like that.
Yeah, me too. Next, The Drifter.
How can you not like this? We go right into The Drifter.
Comes out singing a song, running down Finn Balor. Finn Balor interrupts him again.
Then a match that, do you think this match should have been a Great Balls of Fire? It was a good match.
It was.
Yeah, it was a good match.
It was good. Yeah, probably. At least, assuming this is their blow-off, have it at a pay-per-view, give The Drifter. But then again, maybe they thought, okay, well, we're going to have The Drifter lose, so let's put it on Raw, and it won't be such a high-profile
event. That's a good point, yeah.
Event.
Yeah, it won't feel like a blow-off necessarily. I don't know if they're going to... There doesn't seem to be a reason to keep going with this.
No, given the results of this match and the main event, it seems like we might have Bray Wyatt against Finn Balor sooner rather than later.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
So yeah, Finn Balor wins with a coup de grace.
Uh-huh. But it was a good match.
It was. There was some back and forth. Yeah.
Drifter was going after Finn's shoulder. There was actually a little bit of storytelling there. Mm-hmm. It was good stuff. I think they like Drifter.
Yeah. It was a good showing, even in a loss for The Drifter.
Yeah.
After Finn wins, the Hardy Boys come out, congratulate him, shake his hand.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
And they go out to the ring, drop a promo, and they were teasing the hell.
Oh my god. He literally said broken.
Well, Jeff says obsolete.
Yeah.
Out comes the club.
Well, Matt said, yes, we might be brute. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
The club comes out.
The club, yeah.
Calls them nerds.
Yeah.
And then Matt says, yeah, we may be stitched up, bruised, maybe even a little broken.
I love when Anderson does his, what was his name? Chad too bad. Yeah. Why do we get no signal on that thing? I not plug it in?
It just... Oh, there he goes. Back.
Oh, nice.
Who knows what happened there?
Yeah. Delete.
Yeah, he does his Chad Too Bad laugh. And so Matt says, despite being potentially a little broken...
Yeah, bruised, beat down, and broken.
They challenge the club to a match.
That guy's... He's so close to getting it. I guarantee he might have gotten it already. So, yeah, they challenged the club to a match. They are, but, you know, they weren't 100%. Thank God. Wow. I was stunned. Anybody following us on Twitter saw how stunned I was because I posted 3 stunned faces last night. And it was all the same picture of me going like this. The club went over.
The most unspontaneous stunned look I've ever seen on your face.
That's what I did. That's also my O face, by the way.
tried to get you
while you were drinking. Anyways, yeah. So, it was cool because the club actually went over in a match that made sense for them to go over because the Hardys had a brutal matchup the night before.
Yeah, when they walked out to the ring earlier, Matt was limping.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Jeff, while he was doing his kind of dance at the top of the stage, he stopped, sold shoulder injury.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
So, you can the club can go over here.
Yeah.
I like that.
But the best part... happened after the match.
Say yeah!
When the club are up at the top of the ramp celebrating, we hear,
say yeah!
Out comes the Revival.
We go Hardys.
And they lay into the Hardys.
Yeah, it was
good. They beat the hell out of them.
It was awesome. It was rad. So we're going to get the Hardys versus the Revival. This might be it, Larson. This might be.
How awesome would it be, or is it going to be, when the Revival are the ones that break Matt Hardy?
Oh, it's going to be great.
That's great.
Fantastic. Did you see the YouTube video that WWE put up?
Yes, the one you shared with me on Twitter.
With the club and Stevie
Yes,
Ray.
Yes, that was fantastic.
Stevie Ray still literally looks like he did 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's just roaming around, and man, those club guys, they're NWO now. That's what that means. You're too sweet a guy from the NWO. Not you. You don't get to be in the NWO. Where would you be, Wolfpack or Hollywood NWO?
Oh, Wolfpack.
You'd be Wolfpack?
Yeah.
You're going to be in there. You know who's in there with you. You know you have the Too Sweet then.
I know.
Yeah, Too Sweet Luger.
I'm aware of that.
Oh, man. Let's see here.
After that, we had Miz TV presenting The Mizzies.
Yeah, this was okay.
I thought this was fun because everybody was all in on the segment. Maurice, when she was waiting to hear who won the most gorgeous lady in wrestling award, whatever it was, her performance was great.
She sold it to perfection. That's right. And we got the
charming as all get out.
We got the co-win from Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Bo Dallas said,
"Great speech.
Not only have you revived my career, you've revived my life," or something like that. Curtis Axel said,
"Now I look like $1 million, and now I'm going to make $1 million." Maurice,
all right, it was good.
Maurice
was good.
Sold this whole segment perfectly. Like she was when the Miz got the envelope and said, "I don't need an envelope." And Maurice went from confidence to, "Oh my gosh, who's it going to be?"
Yeah.
And the process her performance showed was fantastic.
Yeah, it
fantastic.
Was really good. She was very touched when she won.
Yes,
she was
Maurice is endlessly charming.
She is really charming. So yeah, this is good. Then Dean Ambrose. I think I've got it in my gut. But you know, you're right. By the end of the main event, we saw where this is headed, and I like it.
Miz named himself the greatest man, which I wonder was a little bit of a jab at Austin Aries.
Oh, that could be. Ooh, that could be. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Wow.
But at first, Miz kind of swerves everybody and says,
he said,
Dean Ambrose.
Thinking that Dean Ambrose is going to attack. And he said, wrong, the Miz. So that was cool. Dean Ambrose comes in. The Miztourage beat up Dean Ambrose. And then Seth Rollins comes in and tries to help out his former Shield running mate.
Yes.
Then we got, so he makes a save. Then backstage, Ambrose and Rollins are back there. Ambrose says,
stay out of my business.
I still don't trust you. You turned your back on me. This is not going to be a Shield reunion. Now, by the end of the main event, we saw where this is headed. Seth versus Miz.
Yeah.
Seth's going to win the Intercontinental Championship probably at SummerSlam.
Probably.
All right.
How about this? What if this is all a prelude to an Ambrose heel turn?
Yeah, I thought we were going to see an Ambrose heel turn last night. When he came running in with that chair and the Miztourage was beating down Seth, I was like, ooh, chair, Miz, Seth, oh.
Well, especially chair, Dean, Seth.
That's what I meant. Yeah, Dean. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, I totally thought that was going to happen. That still might happen. There's nothing for Ambrose to do. There's too many faces. You got Roman, who's whatever. You got
Seth.
You got Seth and
you
Finn.
You got Finn. I know.
It's too many main event faces. You need the Dean Ambrose would even it out. And I honestly think when he said this isn't going to be no Shield reunion, the crowd started booing that. They're not. I had suspicions that maybe the crowd was so used to being pro Ambrose that they would find a heel turn that they would not be into a heel turn.
If he turned on a Shield reunion, yeah, that could work.
That could work, man. That could work. I think they might roll with that. Anyways, I do like that, though. I like that it wasn't like, oh, hey, buddy, we're cool. He's referencing something that happened in the past, and Seth was like, I'm trying to change.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to be a different man. I'm face now.
Yeah.
I'm
on the cover of the video game.
I want to be top face, Ambrose.
Well, he is top face on
Raw.
He
is top face.
Next, Sasha Banks and Bayley took on Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. This match was fun, I thought.
Yeah, this was a fun match. This was good stuff. And then once again, Bayley got the pin. Stunned face. I tweeted that out, but it was the same picture as before. It's kind of a gag.
No, I get.
Yeah, what, I did it three times.
It's called a running joke, isn't it?
It's the rule of threes in
or
comedy.
Or running gag, yes.
It's the rule of threes.
No, I know. I know what that is.
Bayley got the pin on Alexa Bliss with the roll up.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like you said, this is a fun match. I always like seeing Sasha and Bayley together. I think it's fun.
So are we thinking this
I like
might
when
be,
I see actual friends.
Are we going to have two Fatal 4-Way matches at SummerSlam? Because it's still a distinct possibility.
We're not even going to have.
It's still a distinct possibility that for the Universal title, we get Roman, Joe, Braun, and Lesnar all in the ring for that belt.
We're not. Yeah, we might.
Because next week was going to happen. Joe and Reigns are going to have the main event, and they're going to fight. Braun's going to come out
and
interfere.
Braun's going to totally come out and interfere.
And it's going to be a four-way for the Universal title. That's what it's going to be.
Really? They're going to do a four-way at SummerSlam? You think they're going to do AJ versus Nakamura still? That's a big match.
I know. I want them to wait.
That's a great match.
Till WrestleMania for that.
Nakamura's going to, well, I can do both. Nakamura's going to be taking on Baron Corbin
tonight, yeah.
You think they're going to say, hey, this is for the briefcase?
No,
I don't think so either.
I wouldn't be surprised if Baron cashes in at SummerSlam.
I really can't believe they're going to do two Fatal 4-Ways.
I can't either, but the pieces are in place for it to happen.
I do feel like, judging my last night's show, I do feel like they're, maybe creative was simply like biding their time until the lead up to SummerSlam.
Entirely possible.
And it feels like, because it feels like last night, a lot of things went into motion. So hopefully the same thing will happen on SmackDown tonight. Next up, we had a Goldust promo.
Yeah.
This was cool. He quoted Reservoir Dogs, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, and he said that we're going to have a sequel.
What's your favorite Tarantino movie? You like Tarantino, but you're not huge on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. It's still probably Pulp Fiction, but Reservoir is a close two. Inglourious Basterds is really good, though. I really love that movie.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, his stuff's good, but I've never really... Like, I've always been more of a Paul Thomas Anderson guy. His movies always resonated more with me.
His early ones, yeah. The last one, the last couple, you've just been like... Eh.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, like Boogie Nights, Heart Eight. I like There Will Be Blood a lot. Just that one scene just fell a little flat.
The trailer for Aronofsky's new movie is supposed to drop soon.
Ooh.
Little Bluebird says it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's one with Jennifer Lawrence, right?
I think so, yeah.
Called Mother.
Mother.
I think there's actually an exclamation mark at the end.
Then we had R-Truth versus Goldust. Now, during R-Truth's entrance rap, I think he referred to this as the big finale or something. Was this their blow-off?
Oh, it could be.
Goldust won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I liked about Raw last night? Mm. Everybody seemed loose. Everybody seemed like they were to have a really good time.
I know.
And for the most part, I can't think of anything that felt short. They gave all the matches time.
What if Austin Aries was just a nightmare backstage to everyone?
I have a hard time believing that.
And with him gone.
He hasn't even been around the last 3 weeks.
Everybody was like, oh, man, that jerk is gone. He's out of here. Always talking about veganism and bananas and stuff.
Potassium.
Potassium this, potassium that. And he's like 4 feet tall. I'm joking. No, I really doubt that's the case. But yeah, everybody did seem looser last night. Brock seemed like he was having a blast.
Yeah, Brock seemed like he literally texted me that. Good time.
That, he looked like he was having fun.
Which brings us.
Oh, man, this was a great segment.
Awesome segment. So Kurt Angle comes out and says, all right, well, you know, following what happened, we got to decide what happens at SummerSlam. So out comes Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Angle says, again, you need an opponent for SummerSlam. And Heyman took that to mean as if they're going to have a brainstorming session.
That was good.
And he's like, we're not here for that. Yeah, let's go.
We're not here for a brainstorming session in public.
Cue Roman Reigns' music. He comes out, says he wants a title shot.
Yeah.
And Brock says, he laughs at him, says, you don't deserve shit.
Oh, that was great. That was
fantastic.
And
Heyman sold it great. Oh, Angle sold it marvelously. Oh, yeah.
That was great. That was fantastic.
Oh, that was so good. And then Brock says, you don't deserve it. And then Samoa Joe comes out.
You don't deserve shit.
You don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it.
And then Joe comes out. Gosh, Joe is the man.
Joe is the man, dude. And Brock seems to get so geeked over Samoa Joe.
Well, there was, I think, Cage Side Seats or Sports Kid had an article up saying that Lesnar really enjoys working with Joe.
That's not surprising because, dude, even during their match, which 99% of it was great, there was that one moment when Samoa Joe went to Irish whip Brock Lesnar and Brock stopped it from happening and then started laying in some shots that looked legit and Joe started laying in some shots. I think they just like beating up on each other.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard,
They get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And so Brock, wouldn't even have the time during the segment. He wouldn't even let Samoa Joe continue his thought. He would just get up in his grill, and Joe seemed to really be into it.
Yeah, Joe would not back down. Yeah. It seemed like it was very loose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they went off script, but it felt like it.
Yeah, it totally
did.
But
it felt genuine, and it felt natural, and it was fun as hell.
It was. And Roman was just sort of chilling. And, you know, Joe said, you don't have anything to say. He says, you know, Brock beat you up last night or something
Braun,
like that.
Braun, yeah. Oh, Braun.
I'm sorry, Braun, you know. You got your ass whooped by Braun.
You sure are mouthy for someone that lost to Braun Strowman. And then Roman said, well, I'm standing here and Braun isn't.
He said, look at me and look at Braun if you could even find him.
Yeah.
The crowd popped for that.
Yeah.
The crowd liked that. You just keep on having Roman do really messed up things.
And just kind of
laugh off. And not be villainous about it. Just be like, yeah, this is part of the job. Then, I don't know, people are going to slowly come back around to him. Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know. He got a good pop a couple times last night.
I know, he did. When you do cool shit, then people are going to pop for you.
I don't know. Attempted murder is not cool, though.
Escaping a horror movie villain is, though. People pop for that.
But here's the thing. Thanks to this feud with Roman, Braun is kind of a face right now.
I know. I get that. People love Braun, man. Did you see that video package? The somebody edited together.
I saw it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Okay. It's his music, but they've added going along to the beat of his music, I'm not finished with you.
Oh, that's great.
And they added it. It's like the perfect, it should be his video package.
Pretty awesome.
His Tron. So anyways, Kurt Angle says, look, here's the deal. Next week on Raw, main event, I think main event, we're going to have Roman versus Joe to determine who the number one contender is heading into SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That's going to happen, but you guys do not touch each other until then. Otherwise,
the match is off.
The match is off, and Brock will fight. I don't know, Heath Slater.
Well, then Brock was like, yeah, go ahead and fight. Fight,
yeah.
guys.
Oh,
go ahead,
he
go
was
do
in,
it.
Yeah, he... He's
an and the crowd was chanting, fight, fight. And,
yeah.
And Brock was
Brock
all into
was
it.
Into it.
Brock, it's so funny to see Brock actually into his job.
I mean, here's the thing, dude. You just mentioned this about Braun. Braun, Brock, Joe, Roman. None of them are faces. None of them are heels. I just think that at this point, like especially seeing last night, okay, how are they going to handle this Roman thing? He's just Roman. They're just going to do that. These characters are just going to be characters. They'll get in people's faces. They'll act like badasses. You root for one guy, you root for the other guy. It's just maybe that's just how the WWE wants it now.
Could be.
With Triple H sort of being more hands-on, that wouldn't surprise me because he seems to be more in favor of personalities, characters, and not good guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
That's just, that seems to be the way of it. So, yeah, that was a strong segment. Then we get Kurt and Corey Graves backstage. And Kurt, finally next week, we're going to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
He's talking to Corey Graves about, did you get the same text I got? This could ruin me. It could ruin my family.
But then he said he also felt like he had to come public.
Yeah. And then, oh, okay, later on he was on the phone.
Yeah.
So, okay, big mystery. Then we got Akira Tozawa, Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar and Neville.
Another fun tag match.
Mm-hmm. Tozawa got the pin on Neville after a top rope senton, but he also did the kick to the rope to the balls thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So echoing the night before.
Yeah, and then it was also announced last night that tonight on 205 Live,
rematch?
Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar in an I Quit match.
Oh, that should be good.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, that should be really good. Then we got a Seth Rollins interview.
I don't remember anything about it.
I remember he talked to Charlie and called her Charles, but I don't remember anything else about it.
It seemed pretty straightforward, face Seth.
I imagine he interview. Just talked about Bray.
Oh, I did notice that he went to the makeup department and had like a bit of a black eye put on him.
Oh,
I noticed
that. Nice. Good job. To
really sell that eye injury.
Good job, Seth. Good job. That played into the main event. Next up, we had a Bray Wyatt promo where he talked about Seth taking him lightly, I think, or something.
Is it? It's kind of a shame that at this point in this feud, which I'm hoping this was the blow off and this was the end of it, we
you
just
think
kind
it's
of
feud of the year here.
No, we just kind of tuned out.
Yeah.
The promos because we feel like it's redundant.
I know. I mean, they are though. That's the thing. They are. There's no.
I know. They're really not adding anything new.
This was a stopgap feud. It felt like a stopgap feud, and both participants treated it like it was a stopgap feud.
Yeah.
However, this match I felt was better than the match that we got at Great Balls of Fire. And, okay, so even though... Oh, wait, hold on. Seth Rollins... was the last thing in the show was the Kurt Angle phone thing? Oh, okay, all right. So, yeah, we got Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt in our main event. Here's the thing about this. So, they referenced, of course, the eye poke from the night before that Seth was kind of favoring that. Bray hit him at one point during the match to sort of exacerbate the injury.
Yeah, but also... Seth started working over Bray's right hand because I guess that's his eye-poking hand.
Yeah, okay.
I like the fact that there was a story involved.
No,
in that.
I know. Me too.
I appreciate
too.
That,
me too,
but
me too.
There's a hole of their hand that Bray could use to poke somebody. Just because you're right-handed doesn't mean you can only use your right hand to do everything.
Bray won again with Sister Abigail.
Well, he headbutted
him in the eye.
Seth
and
right
Seth,
in the eye,
Seth,
yeah.
I thought that... So, for me not to have shit on the ending to the match at Great Balls of Fire... They could have told the same thing, only incorporated the eye poke, maybe to start the match.
Yeah.
And that's the injury that then Bray Wyatt would be taking advantage of.
Yes, there'd be actually more of a story, yes.
Because the finish to this match, I thought, was you know, he did the headbutt, and Seth starts stumbling around trying to punch at nothing.
Yeah.
And so he was impaired for the finish, and that's how he ended up losing. Bray ended up teleporting out of the ring afterwards. Lights
went
down.
Neat.
And then I thought this was really effective. The Miz and the Miztourage came down. Except they had a very sinister feel to them.
Yeah.
You know, they surrounded the ring
slowly.
They're
still all in their suits.
They're still in their suits. They weren't, like, it wasn't cartoonish Miz. It was like Miz when he was doing this face. Curtis looks great. Bo looks great. They go and they surround the ring and they attack Seth. Or Seth sort of, you know, preemptively attacks him as they get into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Dean comes in with a chair and makes a save. Could be foreshadowing, but I think in the meantime, we're obviously going to get Seth versus The Miz.
Yeah. Or it could be Seth versus Dean versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title.
Oh, my SummerSlam. God. It's all multi-man matches. Essentially, the SummerSlam is going to be one of the New Japan Road 2 cards. And then the never overweight title is going to be defended as well. Kurt Angle ended the night on the phone, and he said, "I'm proud of you.
I hope you're proud of me too. Come to Raw next week, and we'll get this worked out." And then he said, "I love you."
Power rankings, Larson.
Oh,
power rankings.
Can 1 through 5 be the same people?
3, 4. This is not going to be Dixie Carter.
It is going to be Dixie
Carter.
What did
she say on Twitter?
Oh, hold on. Let me pull that up.
Do people know?
See, I didn't think about this. I was going through my Twitter last night, and WrestleZone had a thing about speculation who would it be.
Okay.
And first they said Stephanie. And I said, no, that seems weird. And then they said Dixie Carter because she was on that WWE 24 thing last night. And then literally, right after I read that, I looked up, and on the ticker where they have the upcoming shows, it said Raw next week, Nashville. I was like, oh, my gosh.
That's where she's from.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be Dixie Carter.
Oh, my God.
Or at least Dixie Carter's going to be on that show. It's going to be Dixie.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Dixie will be the swerve. I don't think that she's going to be. If they're doing it from Nashville, she's from Nashville, she'll show up one episode. I mean, whoever this is probably going to have to show up several episodes. Unless Dixie and Kurt had an... No, that doesn't even make sense. The only one that I like, I think, I don't know, somebody mentioned Chad.
Hold on. Okay,
should be Chad Gable.
So, this is...
illegitimate son, Chad Gable.
Someone from Twitter
looks
asked...
exactly like
ask Dixie Carter, are you going to be anywhere near Raw next Monday? And she said, pretty close.
It's not enough people know about Dixie Carter, man. It's like for the hardcore.
That's why they had her in the WWE 24 the week before she's going to be on Raw.
1 through 5. Okay, how about this? You get 1 through 4, Dixie Carter. You're probably right. I'm just trying to talk us down from that. And I don't care. It'll be cool if it is. I like Dixie. I mean...
So I guess the implication... There's two... with him saying, I love you...
She took a friggin' table bump from the...
The Dudleys. Implication is that he's been having an affair.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
Or had an affair at some point.
Yeah.
So...
So soap opery. It's so cheesy. And then what? Stephanie and Triple H? Because Kurt's going to fight Triple H at SummerSlam, isn't he?
I assume if he gets medically cleared, yeah.
That's going to happen. So Dixie Carter, and then number 5, I think it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be Dixie Carter. Number 5 is Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, he says, we're international now, slap nuts. And that includes the WWE. Dixie Carter.
It is World Wrestling Entertainment, after all.
It's not going to be Vince Russo.
No.
He had an affair with Vince Russo.
But I mean, I guess it could be. You know, you mentioned Chad Gable. It could be, you know, like a son out of wedlock or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It'd be great if it was Chad Gable.
It'd be interesting, yeah.
How fantastic would that be?
Yeah.
Dad.
Yeah.
It could be like a Doc Rivers, Austin Rivers thing.
Yeah.
Where he like favors Chad Gable.
Yeah. Yeah. Immediate universal title shot.
Exactly. That'd be fantastic. Oh, man.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Woo. Dixie Carter.
I won't say 100% certainty that Dixie Carter is who he was talking to, but Dixie Carter is going to be on Raw next
week.
Yeah,
she'll be on Raw.
That feels like a lock.
I'm going to say this. I feel like it's a lock that she's going to be, I don't know, man, I guess.
That she'll be involved somehow.
She'll be involved somehow. I kind of feel like it's a swerve.
Yeah, it could be.
For something else. But I don't know. What if it's EC3? Because he was storyline her nephew,
mm-hmm.
but he's also under contract to
TNA GFW.
If it's,
are there any free agents out there? It could be
Adam Cole, baby. Angle. That's going to be his
name.
They're
not going to make Adam Cole Kurt Angle's son.
Yes, Adam Cole. Who else could it be? Kyle O'Reilly. He looks kind of like Kurt Angle.
Not really. He needs to go to NXT to reform Redragon.
They're going to be to Dragon again.
They have to Dragon again in NXT.
They're going to be redrawn.
War Machine.
Yeah, they're twins. That's good. I like that a lot. Shelton Benjamin.
No, he's supposed to be coming back to SmackDown, according to WWE's playlist they posted on Twitter.
Yeah, well, that's a swerve. Yeah, he's going to show up on Raw. Hey, Shelton Angle, part of the world's greatest team.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyways, let's answer some questions.
Yeah, let's answer some
Maybe
questions.
Some questions we'll have. Maybe these questions we'll have.
Connor Dunmore. Hey, friendos, who is the most dad-looking wrestler in WWE? He says Curtis Axel. That's a good answer.
These days, he definitely is.
His hair is getting a little thin up here. He kind of has dad bod.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's Curtis Axel. Because like he literally posts like heck of pictures on his stuff, and talks about his kids quite a bit on social media.
Ah, Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion. Who do you think is the best commissioner / GM in WWE history?
You're going to say John Laurinaitis.
No, I'm not going to say John Laurinaitis.
Well, who have we had? Name some names. We had Sergeant Slaughter. We've had Shawn Michaels. We've had...
Mick Foley. A couple times. Ric Flair.
How do you not say Teddy Long?
Yeah.
Teddy Long is probably the greatest.
Yeah.
I mean, not until... Like, he would always set up those damn tag matches, but he definitely was a character.
And he had, like, the longest tenure.
Probably. That sounds right.
Of any GM, I think. Because he was GM of SmackDown for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Teddy Long's the right answer.
Teddy Long. I would say it's maybe a tie between Teddy Long and Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, yeah. Vicky was good, too.
She was good, too.
Mick Foley was good, too.
Yeah.
He did it a couple times.
Sean Holver asks, who's it most likely to be, Stephanie or Dixie?
Dixie.
Probably Dixie. And then what? Stephanie's going to take issue with Kurt Angle's personal stuff getting in the way of... And then
of his
she's
job.
Gonna, maybe. I don't know.
That seems convoluted, though.
Yeah. Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster. Steve, you've been commissioned to become a Larson versus Top Notch Larson House of Horrors match. What?
How do you book that match? Me versus Top Notch Super Best House of Horrors match. How do you book it?
You know those apartments behind Walmart?
Mm-hmm.
It would be there.
Okay.
Because that's kind of a House of Horrors. But then Top Notch, like mid match, would simply make the apartment complex that you're fighting through, like teleport into space, and so your lungs would just implode. He wins, and then he loses to Mecha Santa.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Drew Q, he's got a hypothetical question. You have a friend who is trying to get into this new era of wrestling. What specific match, feud, and segment would you show them to get them hooked? I'd want to show them something that didn't require a whole lot of backstory.
Mm-hmm. Is it specific to WWE? I didn't see.
He doesn't specify, but I think...
New era. Well, he capitalizes the new era.
Yeah, so that's WWE. His suggestions are AJ versus Cena at Royal Rumble 2017, mm-hmm. Feud, Joe versus Brock, and his segment is the pre-WrestleMania promos on John Cena. See, I think... You know what might be the best thing to show? Mm-hmm. Is Sasha-Charlotte feud from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they had some quality, excellent matches,
mm-hmm.
decent promo work,
mm-hmm.
and it was a good, long feud. That, you know, not all the finishes of the match made sense, specifically the Hell in the Cell one.
Yeah.
But all in all, it was best feud of last year.
I would show them Nitro from 9/25/2000.
It
was like at least 6 Vince Russo segments. You know, they had scaled Nitro back to 2 hours at that point.
I know. I started it and I saw, oh, there's only an hour and a half. That's
kind of
cool.
I forgot that they never, that they stopped going 3 hours.
Oh, man.
What a
train wreck that was. CM Punk finds it insulting that Triple H finds it funny. Congratulations, Stephen Larson. Mr. McMahon has retired and has given control of WWE to you guys.
Nice.
Name 5 people.
Top guys.
Name 5 people that have never worked for WWE Creative that are wrestling YouTubers, podcasters, or journalists and assign them to lead the creative team for either Raw, SmackDown Live, NXT, or 205 and assign one of the 5 as overall head booker. Who would you assign to which position and why?
Who would you assign head booker?
Well, Adam Blompier does. I would book it, so there you go.
There you go. Perfect. I like
it. He is head booker.
We need
creative heads for each brand. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live.
All right. Wait, who do we say? Adam Blumpy. And then working under him, Dave Meltzer.
For which show?
Oh,
NXT.
NXT. There you go, NXT. Let's see here. Who else? We'll give... Who are we going to give... What are we going to... Brian Zane. We'll give him 205 Live.
Give him SmackDown Live.
Give him SmackDown Live?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He gets to mess with AJ and Nakamura?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I kind of want him on 205 Live.
No, I'm saying SmackDown.
You're vetoing me, I guess. You're older. You get veto power. Who gets Raw? Grim. Grim gets Raw.
Okay. So who gets 205 Live?
Put JD and Joe Cronin on 205
okay.
Live. Okay. let's see here. Manuel Garcia de Paredes. What are the odds that... This is a good point here. Dixie Carter revealed as Angle's mystery partner. And the Broken Hardy showing up in the same week on Raw to give TNA the big middle finger.
Entirely possible. That would be something else.
Yeah, that would be.
A lot of people... I'm happy you did the power rankings today because a lot of people are asking.
Yeah, I know. Look, like I know a lot of these like have been upvoted heavily, but they're all that question like who's on the phone with Kurt Angle. So, yeah, if you didn't get your question asked, that's why. Answered, sorry. Let's see here. What Machine Gun Kurt Schwoosky, what current WWE wrestler could you guys see doing some form of other work for the company in the future? He says he thinks The Miz could become what Jerry Lawler is now, a host for the Hall of Fame and other significant events.
Oh, I can see The Miz as a commentator easily.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You know what I noticed last night, too? Miz has been around so long, but he still looks great.
Yeah, he does.
He hasn't really aged that
much. Not a whole lot, no.
It's kind of crazy.
I think of who working now.
I could see Titus as being a manager for a while and then transitioning to announcer.
Yeah.
I could see him doing
Can
that.
Can you think of anybody wrestling now who could one day work in creative?
Oh, Kevin Owens? If he'd want to, yeah.
Yeah. He'd be great in creative.
Yeah. Would you see Kevin Owens wrestling till he's like in his 60s? I kind of could. He has too much fun in the ring, dude.
Oh, I know he does. He's been wrestling for a long time. I don't know how, you know, like he wrestles a fairly physical style. I don't know how much longer he'll be able to do it.
Yeah. Empire Filth Ambassador Jason the Cabbie. Now that we are in the era of felonious behavior, mostly from faces, what is the most hardcore felony that a WWE star could do and still be viewed as a face?
I mean, I would have thought attempted murder would be... something, but apparently that's not an issue. Because like when AJ beat up Shane, they made a huge deal about that. That was assault.
Yeah, that was a big deal. But Braun is a monster. It all depends on who your victim is. That's what it depends on. People, Roman could pull a gun out and shoot Brock. Nobody'd bat an eye because it's Brock. He did the same thing to Alexa Bliss. Are you kidding me? He'd be done with. That'd be at least a 30-day suspension and a U.S. title run. Can't be shooting people, Roman. Here's the U.S. title belt.
All right, Double T. Question is about Raw, but he wants to know if we think Okada is the best wrestler in the world today, and if not, where does he place on Earth? Oh, sorry, on each. When I said on Earth. Where does he place on each of your individual lists?
Where does he place on Earth? He's top three for me, and that three is him, Omega, and Styles.
Okada's definitely having the best year of anybody in wrestling.
He's having the best championship run of anybody, maybe ever.
So right now, I would say it's Okada, Kenny, and AJ.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but I'm putting him in that order.
Oh, he's number one.
Yeah, he's number one right
now. He's number one. Yeah, I'd say that too. He's definitely, it's going to take a lot for anybody else to get going in Raw Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah.
But not like, you know, there's our Wrestler of the Year, but then there's the actual Wrestler of the Year. Because going in Raw Wrestler of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the leading candidate
for... Oh, I forgot.
was like Juice Robinson or something?
Noam Dar was the person voted, I believe.
Yeah.
During the Friendo Awards last year.
Oh, that was
predictively going to be it this year.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not going to be Noam Dar.
So I don't know. I don't remember.
Like, Apollo is just doing good work.
Yeah, so is Baron Corbin.
So is Baron Corbin. They're doing legitimately good
work.
So
is the Drifter. Everybody that...
Oh, the Drifter might still be up there, though. The Drifter, it's not like the Drifter's breaking through to, like, the IC title scene.
Oh, I know.
The Drifter might be... Who's on NXT?
Patrick Clark.
He's a contender. I think you're right about the Drifter. He's actually doing good work. Patrick Clark's up there.
Heavy Machinery?
No. It's going to take a while for me to like them, dude.
I know.
It's going to take a while.
And if War Machine comes over...
Yeah, NXT. I don't know. That's definitely something. Yeah, I don't know. I got to think about that.
Mojo.
About that. Yeah, Mojo's actually doing good work. Let's see here. Who else we got? Okay. This is actually kind of interesting. Dwight Ucor, first time patron, long time viewer of the show. He says, I think we can all agree that Enzo's biggest strength lies on the mic, not in the ring. It got me wondering, what do you guys think about Enzo joining Titus Worldwide? That's the one spot for him that I could actually see him not floundering.
Maybe.
I know Titus is trying to bring in top talent, and he's obviously not that, but Enzo's a hustler, and every good organization needs a good hustler.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that could work. What else can Enzo possibly do, man?
Oh, I have no idea.
Where else can he fit in? That I actually see is kind
I see the fit
6 months.
I see the fit. I just worry that with Enzo's strength being on the mic, I don't want him to kind of be the mouthpiece of Titus Worldwide because Titus is really good.
No, I know. I think there's room for several.
All right.
It's worldwide, man. You can't have just one mic guy.
I'm trying to think who else would be going in Raw Wrestler of the Year.
Oh, it's still bugging you, huh?
Yeah.
Me too. Who do we sort of crack up about, man?
I know he said Patrick Clark, but he's been doing good work.
Yeah, but no, that ceiling is so low.
Oh, I know.
That ceiling is ridiculously low.
But he's all in.
He is. Titus is doing good work.
Yeah. I'll have to think about
who
that.
Who the hell else is on NXT that we're not thinking of right now?
Almas?
No, he's doing good work. I like him. But Almas could be up there. But he's not, I don't know, he's not a clown. Who's a clown? Chase Owens. It's kind of Chase Owens, man. It's kind of his to lose.
Yeah, it is. At this juncture, yes.
Can he ever get out of the D level of the Bullet Club?
I don't even... Well, can he have a match this
Everybody's
year?
Doing good work these days, man.
I know.
It's kind of a Chase
there's a
Owens.
Lot of, there's a lot of good work right now.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be a wrestling fan, Steve.
It is, man. There's a lot of good wrestling out there. There we go. Patrick Mack, first time question asker, second month patron. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
Do you guys think it'd be a good idea to have power rankings involved in storyline? I'm not our power rankings, but power
like
rankings.
Like PWI power rankings,
like,
right?
Yeah, rankings.
Yeah, he says, like the UFC does.
Yeah, exactly.
For contenders and whatnot.
So
yeah.
You know where people stand.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
I think there's pros and cons to it. I think that, you know, one of the cons is you lose some predictability sometimes.
Maybe
if you know what's coming up next, who's going to be up next.
Also, but it would also make and this could be a pro and a con depending on how you want your wrestling, make it feel like a more sports oriented as opposed to sports entertainment.
Yeah,
oriented.
I know.
Jamie 10, hey guys, if Samoa Joe doesn't win the Universal title during his current main event run, what should he do next?
I don't know.
Go to SmackDown.
That'd be cool. I'm not going to do that for a
while.
But
then there's way too much talent in SmackDown if they did that. Way too much.
It's all just a problem. Everything's a problem. All right. It's time for Kayfabe Corner.
Yeah, let's do Kayfabe.
Are you ready
for
Kayfabe Corner? It has been a little while.
Sure.
Today I offered up two choices to our Going In Raw $10 and up patrons to vote on. Kenny Omega and Cody.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes. Overwhelmingly, they went for Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
There were some detractors who went with Cody, but pretty much everybody went with Kenny. Here we go.
All right.
12 names.
Some real, some fake.
A bunch of fake.
Two trivia questions.
Number one.
One.
Chi-Chi Cruz.
Fake.
Real. Josh Green.
Real.
Very good. Daniel Iron.
Fake.
Yeah. That sounds fake. That, you know what's funny? Is that a real name? Actually, all the fakes are actually, for the most part, real names. They're just not wrestlers. James Winchester.
Real.
Fake, but that's a great name.
That is.
Yeah. Brother Divine.
Real.
Yeah. Billy J.
Fake.
Yeah. Elliot Wrestling.
That's got to be fake.
That's fake. That's a great name, though. I made that up. So there is...
Obviously made that up.
Keep your five up, okay? And a quick aside on Elliot Wrestling. So I was done with the entire list, right?
Yeah.
And I just had... I was watching that stupid Nitro, right?
Yeah.
And towards the end of that Nitro, some dude rolls up to the cage and like starts getting in Vince Russo's. I don't know who it is. I think it's a friend of Goldberg's. I don't know. I swear the commentary team called him Elliot. And the thing is, like, as I was watching, I think they showed it first, but I wasn't really paying too close attention. I get up and I'm like, who is that guy? And the camera never gets on his face. They get on like a long shot, but the cage is in front of him, so you can't. It's kind of obscured.
Hmm.
Everybody knows who he is except for me. They're like, Elliot, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Elliot Wrestling. Very happy with that name. Next, David Fox.
Real.
Fake. Buffalo Allen.
Real.
Yeah. Black Onion. Which, by the way, is a Beatles song as well.
Fake.
No, that was Glass Onion.
Yeah, it was Glass.
Fake. Yeah. The G-Man.
Real.
Yeah. Sissy Boy.
Fake.
Yeah, very good.
Nine. Oh, wow.
Look at you. All right. So, two trivia questions.
Yeah.
You're doing really good.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega does, in fact, have a gaming series that I didn't know about.
Oh, I didn't know about it either.
What is it called?
Gaming with Kenny.
The Cleaner's Corner.
Oh, okay.
What career did Omega try after his first stint in WWE developmental failed?
He tried to be an MMA fighter.
Very good. Look at you. Ten. You know what they should do? They should get like a wrestler whose gimmick is, I'm the perfect 10, and he does this a lot.
Do you know what he tried to do before he became a wrestler?
He
was a hockey goalie.
Oh, yeah. No, I did read that.
10. I have no idea what the score is right now. I have no idea what the count is.
That's all right. We'll call it Steve a lot. Larson also a lot, but not...
Slightly less a lot.
Not as much as Steve.
I'll go back and check.
My notes. Look at that. Messy notes and then kind of cleanish notes on this side. Anyways. That's it for going in.
Yes. Raw. Thank you to everyone for joining us.
I knew that list was crap. Yeah. Patrons, stick around. We're going to hang out for a little bit and then we're going to get lunch.
Yeah.
You can, at the $1 and up Patreon mark right now, you can help us get lunch. Or you can help us decide.
Anyways. I brought my lunch today. So.
Oh, did you? Cool. Yeah. Right on. I have some leftovers also. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.